We're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapters 12 and 13 tonight, and that can be found on page 191 of your pew Bibles. And just to look that up, I will not be reading from it, but I'll be referring to many verses from it as we go through the service. This illustration, which I'm going to start off with, is made up. Okay, it's important that you know that it is made up. It is fiction. So imagine the scene. The dad is at home doing man things. He has a hammer and he has a saw in the garage while he sits down. And mummy and daughter are in town doing the whole girly thing. You know, everything's great. They've been away window shopping. They've had lunch out and it's a great wee day. Then they go to a toy shop. Starts out well. Mummy says, "You can get a wee toy. You've been so good." They look around, and as they go around there, boom, the door stops. There is the doll from the TV adverts. It sings, it cries, it answers questions, it walks, it pees. It's amazing. All her friends have them, but she doesn't. She's got loads of dolls, but she needs this doll. So she says, Mommy, I want this doll. Mommy goes, "That's really expensive. That's a special thing. That's like Christmas or two Christmases, you know. Come, look at this little toy over here." But no, the child is there. Mommy comes, takes a hand. Boom. The screaming starts. The tears start. The tantrum starts. And all the people are kind of, you know, giving that look of, oh, yeah. And the mommy goes across. And she's cross, but she takes the spoiled little brat. And she tearfully takes her away, carries her to the car, puts her in the car, and goes home with this little child crying, and there's a tear in mommy's eyes. When they get home, there's daddy. He's done all his work, he tells the wife. The child is sobbing, and mommy has still got that tear in her eye, and he asks, "What happened?" He hears the story. And you know what happens? He says, "I'd have just bought her the doll." No, sorry. He naturally gets cross with the daughter and says, Why did this happen? Look at all the wonderful toys and stuff you already have. How dare you treat your mother like this? She loves you. She carried you. She fed you. She gave you so many things. She cleaned your dirty bum. She hugged you when you were covered in vomit. You should treat your mommy right. Show some respect. Don't do this to your mommy. Let me say again, this is a made-up story. It's important. We're continuing to think about the equipping of God's people tonight. We are going to think about the equipping of God's people to worship. And in chapters 12 and 13, we see Moses warning the people to get rid of the things that will lead them away from God and not to allow others to lead them away from God. He says in verse 4 of chapter 12, "You must not worship the Lord your God in their way." He literally says to the people, don't do this to the Lord your God. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Remember all that the Lord has done for you. You are to worship him only. Don't do this to the Lord your God by following other gods. At the start of our series, we saw the need to learn from the past as we look to the future. And the danger of the worship of idols was there in the past for the people of Israel, for the example of the golden calf. And for us as Christians, we also need to remember that before we started to follow Jesus, we also lived our lives worshiping idols. We were so far from God. So we must hear the challenge from Moses. We need to ensure that we don't stray and worship idols, ensuring that our worship, that in our worship, we do not become guilty of Moses' accusation. Don't do this to the Lord your God, that we worship only God. So how do we equip God's people for worship? Moses, standing in front of the people, wanted them to truly worship God in the promised land. So he commands them in verse 1 of chapter 12. These are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live in the land. He says, listen to me, this will help you to worship God only. To worship, or to truly worship God, we must get rid of idols, the things that we can worship instead of God. Look at verse 2. He says, destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles with fire. Cut down their idols, cut down the idols of their gods, and wipe out their names from those places. Make no mistake, as you read this, this is extreme action that was called for. As with last week, we saw the need for the total devotion, the harem, the total destruction of the cities and the people. This is what God was calling for when it came to idols. So the idols of the Canaanites, they were to break them, smash them, burn them, cut them down, wipe out their names. No trace of them was to be found in the land the Lord was giving them. So they would worship only God. Because God knew that if any still stood, if their names remained, then his people would start to wander. This was something that they excelled at, as we know from history. As Christians, we are called to do the same. We are called to take extreme actions to destroy the idols we worshiped before we knew the Lord. And if we don't do this, it will negatively affect our worship. If we worship other stuff, we are not worshiping God only. The problem is that because we don't worship big statues or carved poles in the West, we sometimes think that we have no idols that need to be destroyed because we don't have that type that we're reading of in Deuteronomy. But the reality of our idols is that they, are just as obvious, but sadly, so often we don't face up to them. Money, materialism, sex, power, celebrity, entertainment, leisure, sport, me time, image, body shape, addictions. The list could go on. The fact is that we live in a selfish, money-driven world where the culture of materialism and the need for more is driven by greed and jealousy and image, where we seek more power so that we can control our own lives, feeding our egos so that we can have more. Me time, leisure time, sports, more entertainment, because it all makes us feel good. And sure, as long as we feel good, what else matters? All the time we are surrounded by celebrity culture and sexual imagery. And that kind of live as you please attitude. We even have websites for people who want to have affairs. The easy access to sex and pornography changes how we view ourselves and others so we conform, or we force others to conform. It is endless. Add to this that thing that we love to do of comparing ourselves to others and say, sure, I'm not as bad as them. We do this so often to justify so much of the sin and of the idolatry in our lives instead of comparing our lives to the Word of God. And if we as a church think that we are not affected by this, we are kidding ourselves. Idols take us away from worshiping God. We need to take this seriously, realizing it is difficult. Think about the effort required by Israel as they went around and destroyed all of these. We need to physically and mentally do this in our lives as well. We need to take extreme action to destroy the idols in our lives. It will be hard, and it may be painful. But God commands us to break, smash, burn, cut down, wipe out their names from our lives so no trace of these idols exists any longer, so that we can worship only God. The rest of the points in the sermon will hopefully help us to do this. As we read on, we see to truly worship God, we must worship where God is. Deuteronomy 12:5. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. The Israelites were to worship where God was, in the tabernacle, in the temple. That was where they were to bring their offerings and worship God. A reason for this was so that they wouldn't go to the places where the idols had been worshipped before and use their methods. So they were to go to the place where the Lord was, where the Lord put his name for his dwelling. As they went to this place, it would keep their worship true to God, worshipping him only. The tabernacle and the temple were awesome. But what is more awesome is that God has chosen the place for his name to be us, to dwell within us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Paul tells us, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So we are to worship with all of our being, our all, every bit of our lives are to worship God only. This is massive. And we as a church really need to get our heads around it. God is in us. Realizing this changes how we live, because we should live to worship God, bringing him glory in all that we do. This wonderful news should cause us to want to take extreme action over the idols in our lives, to break them, smash them, burn them, cut them out, wipe out their names from our lives, because God is in us. Think about the idol of sex and everything around that. Let's look at the verses around 1 Corinthians 9, which I just quoted from. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. This is challenging. It should stop us, this knowledge of having God inside us. It should stop us from watching pornography or stuff which is sexually inappropriate. I told you last week in the morning service that I watched Fast and Furious 7. I'm not sure if anybody else has seen that. But within it, there is quite a lot of sexually inappropriate stuff. I was really challenged this week. I shouldn't have watched it. I really do think that. Apart from that, there's also killing and all that kind of thing going on, which isn't good. But what are we watching? God is right there with you as you do it. Don't do this to the Lord your God. It should stop us when our minds start to wander to inappropriate thoughts about someone else. God is right there with you as you do it. Don't do this to the Lord your God. As we start to be influenced by what we allow into our minds, by what we watch and what we read, are we fleeing sexual immorality or are we actually running towards it? God is right there with you as you do it. Don't do this to the Lord your God. Stop. We are to worship God only. Nothing else should come between us and God. As we think about truly worshiping God, we are called to worship where God is. As we realize he is within us, we are to live lives of worship. This helps us to destroy idols. And then as we read on, to truly worship God, we must give. Actually, I wrote this before I knew that announcement was going to be in. Anyway, in Deuteronomy chapter 12:6 says this, There, bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Giving was a massive part of Israelite worship. Interesting, it was more than just a tithe. They also gave other offerings as well, like the firstborn of the flock and their freewill offerings and vow offerings and all sorts of stuff. We give to God out of what He has given us. We give in response to Jesus and His sacrifice. We give because we believe in the work of God in the church and that we want to support it. Giving is a vital part of our worship. When we take our giving seriously, it also helps us to destroy the idols of money and materialism. It stops us from selfishly seeking after these. It is vital that we carefully consider our giving because it should be a massive part of our worship and helps to keep God number one. Paul challenges us in 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I honestly believe that if we give cheerfully to God, seeing it as part of our worship, it will change our attitude to money. As we decide in our hearts, making our giving a heart issue, it helps us to get our priorities right when it comes to our money. Honestly, this can be something that we all struggle with, especially if we're not doing bad financially. We can be thoughtless about our money and our use of our money, and we should never be thoughtless about how we use our money, because it's not really ours. For example, we go to South Africa every 18 to 24 months, and some might think that it is extravagant, but we always ensure that we are sending more money to the ministries in South Africa than it costs us to get there. We think about our giving, where our money goes. As we look at our income and our outgoings at home, we want to make sure that we give to the church. We give more than what we spend on our cars. We make sure that's happening. We also make sure that we are not living extravagant lives. Remember, we have been blessed to bless, not to build bigger barns. We live in a world which builds bigger barns, a world which worships money. And we are to worship God only. It is only as we carefully consider and decide in our hearts and give cheerfully that we have a chance of destroying the idols of materialism and money. And as a family, Karen and I, we do this. We sit down together. We consider how much comes in. We consider how much to give and what to give it to. We take time over it because it is an important part of our worship. It's not something that we do begrudgingly or think of as a punishment. It's cheerful. We do it with joy. There's also a warning here. Some think that if we give like the 10%, we can do whatever we want with the rest. Do not fall into this trap. Remember that we are stewards of what the Lord has blessed us with. Giving to God is worship. It means sacrifices. But really considering the sacrifice of Jesus, is it? When it comes to money, we need to get over ourselves and have faith. To truly worship God, we must give. I know you'll have heard it before, but it's true. What does your bank statement say you worship? Then as we continue on, we see that to truly worship God, we must rejoice and be a family, in verse 7. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Moses was telling the people to worship God as families, to rejoice together in the Lord's blessings. As we worship and rejoice together, we are doing as God desires. He designed family. The family unit is important, and worshiping as a family is good for everyone in the family. I mean this as a church family and as in our own families. It helps our kids to understand God and what Jesus has done for us as we lead them, telling them of the wonderful things he has done for us. As I said 2 weeks ago, we are to be obedient to God, and part of that obedience is to teach our children. We are also to rejoice. Simple, if we don't rejoice in our worship of God, then we will seek joy in other places. Idols will be very easy to turn to. And the same will happen to our children. Worshiping as a family and rejoicing in all that the Lord has blessed us with helps us to worship God only, to destroy idols in our lives. It helps us to see the importance and the important things in life in terms of priorities and time. So many idols in our lives destroy these two of priorities and time. Like entertainment, leisure, sport, job, me time. But if doing any of these are more important to us than God, if we are deriving more joy and rejoicing in them more than we do in God, they are going to mess up our priorities and our use of time. We will spend less time with God. We will spend less time with our families, therefore damaging our example and our opportunities to teach and to worship with them. If our kids think that we get more joy from any of these idols than from God or from the church, we shouldn't be surprised if they end up not following God. So let us hear the warning from Moses and ensure we take extreme action against any idols that could take us away from worshiping God only. And worship God where he is. Give to him and rejoice and be a family. In 12:31, we read this. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. Let us ensure that there are no idols in our lives. Things which are detestable to God. Because if we want to worship God only, we can't have things which are detestable to God in our lives. We must wipe them out, make sure that they have no part in our lives to influence us, because we are weak like the people of Israel. If they are there on the outskirts of our lives, we will follow them. So we must destroy them. Chapter 12, Moses deals with these things that can take us away from God. Moses then uses chapter 13 to warn us about the people who will try and take us away from God. He uses three examples. The first of a false prophet who does signs and wonders. The second of a family member or a very close friend who tries to lead them away from God. And the third, what would happen or what should happen to a town that is led astray. And you can read about these in chapter 13. In each of these situations, the person or the whole town is put to death. Again, very extreme action was to be taken against anyone who would seek to take them away from God. How do we apply this idea to our lives now? We need to be careful. We need to be careful about who we listen to and who we allow to influence us. Deuteronomy tells us that a false prophet will be known by his message, not necessarily by the miracles he does, but by his message. If they want to take us away from worshiping God, then they are false. So we need to be able to discern and to test the messages we hear and stay true to God. Because in Deuteronomy 3:3 we say, the Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. The tests will come. So we need to know our Bibles. We need to be able to defend our faith against attack. We need to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. And if we have idols and we are listening to the wrong people, we are going to go away so easily. When these tests happen, we will fall. The example of our families or close friends leading us away, I'm going to say that really this shouldn't happen. The danger of this is why we need to be really careful, as Norman said last week, about our choice of spouse, about marrying the right person who's got the same belief and faith as you have, because if you don't, they will try and take you away. And also important that we choose our close friends really carefully as well and are not influenced negatively. This is why we need to bring up our children in the Lord so that they're not trying to take us away from the Lord. Teaching them and being an example, worshiping as a family. These things in this example shouldn't happen if we are doing as the Lord says. The example of a town. It shows us why we should fight for our towns. It talks about a town being destroyed, and we should fight for our towns against the social and moral decay and the idols in this world which are destroying lives. We must be salt and light where we are. These chapters show us the seriousness with which we are to take the worship of God. Worship him only. To truly worship God, we must do as the little verse in the middle here in 13 verse 4. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. This verse gives us a wee checklist which helps us to ensure that we truly worship God. That we follow him. That we are walking in his ways. That we revere him. That we hold him in awe. That we fear the Lord. We understand how great and amazing and awesome he is. That we keep his commands and we obey him. We know our word of God, the word of God. And we obey it. We hear it and we do it. That we serve him. Our lives are lives of service. That we are actively serving the Lord. That we're not sitting back and being served. That we hold fast to him. Again, the word used here is to cling, like a husband is to cling to his wife. We are to hold fast to the Lord. If we are not clinging to the Lord, if we are not doing any of this little checklist that you can see there, maybe there's something wrong in your life. Maybe there's an idol that you need to destroy. These are signs that we worship God only. If we are not doing any of these, then we need to consider the idols of our lives, that are in our lives, that influence us, the things that we need to destroy and we need to wipe out so there is no trace left of them. Are we living as if God is within us? Is our giving an important part of our worship? And do we rejoice in God and worship as a family? Let us ensure that we, as God's people, are equipped to worship God. And this means worshiping him only. Deal with our idols.